JB was out of practice today up in Cranberry and saw a real good sight at one end of the rink in net, right?
Yeah, Matt Murray's back. His first full team practice since he got a concussion on February 26th. So, yeah. You know, I mean, we talk about a lot of things with a month left in the regular season, you know, things that the Penguins need to do to shore up before the playoffs. Number one is get Matt Murray back. I don't think there's anything you could put in front of it. He looked good today, and he looks to be on his way back. Probably could play by Tuesday.
How much work do you think he needs or should get in the final 10 games? And we're down to 10 games for the Penguins from now until the playoffs. Should he play in 8 of those?
You know what? They still have 3 sets of back-to-backs left.
Okay.
So I would say, you know, the maximum it would be 7. But, you know, maybe you give him one other game off, you know, especially like a last game if it doesn't mean anything. He was playing really well before the concussion. Some of his best hockey, well, certainly his best hockey of the year, but some of his best hockey in a couple of years. In between the leave of absence from when his father died to the concussion, he had 9 starts. He went 8-0-1 with a .926 save percentage. So, you know, how much is the concussion, you know, how much does it affect that? I don't know. I would say you probably play him as much as he feels like he needs it. And we're not kind of to the point where these games don't mean anything. They absolutely do. I mean, you're still talking home ice on the line. You still got to clinch a playoff spot. You know, I mean, it's not like Florida's rolling over. So I don't want to make it out like it's an exhibition season for Matt Murray. But, you know, I would say you take his temperature and ask him, figure out how much, you know, action he needs to get ready to go.
That was such a strange injury, JB, getting hit with a puck, suffering a concussion. You know, normally that comes with a scramble in front, a knee to the side of the head. I mean, I kind of tend to believe, and again, with concussions, you never know, that they were being extremely, extremely cautious with him.
Well, I don't know, but it is possible. I'll tell you one thing. They do take concussion recovery very seriously. I mean, you know, this is an organization like any other organization in the NHL that completely, you know, obfuscates and you know, just doesn't tell the truth about injuries when it comes to, you know, ankles and knees and elbows. But when it comes to concussions, the Penguins are pretty forthright about that. They take it very seriously. I would assume that's a byproduct of the Crosby situation, but, they should be lauded for that. That's something that they should do with concussions. It shouldn't be messed around with. And I think Murray's another example of that.
Okay, here's the burning question I have for you when Murray does come back. Who's better qualified as the backup goaltender in your mind? I know I'm leaning towards a favorite. What do you think?
It's a tough question. I think I probably lean toward Jarry because I feel like there's a little more consistency there. DeSmith, there's a little more up or down. When he's up, his peak is better than Jarry's. But his lows are lower than Jarry's, too. So I've said this before. I've probably said it to you before, Tim. Every time those two are put in a position where they're on equal footing, the Smith beats them out. So, you know, I could still go either way, but I feel like the size and the consistency of Jarry is probably a little further ahead right now, but you could talk me out of it.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't talk you out of it, but I would lean to DeSmith if for no other reason. He's an older guy, and he's also a guy that has handled throughout his entire career being the second banana, sitting out a lot and then having to play. And I think it would just better suit Jarry to be the guy to go back down to carry the baby Penguins into the playoffs. And maybe, you know, if you don't need them back up here for any particular reason, potentially carry them to a Calder Cup and add that to his resume while you're, you know, you just got the Smith as a backup. That's kind of like how I feel about it.
No, and you know what? I hadn't thought of that angle, and Jarry as a younger guy could, and the fact that he hasn't had a long playoff run, would be really good for his development. So if something like that seems to be brewing, if Murray's perfectly healthy, then I would absolutely say get Jarry some playing time.
All right, I have to ask you, and you do this a lot for the hockey news. They put out their future watch. I got mine in the mailbox the other day. And I look, well, I'm kind of anxious to see, you know, where the Penguin system was rated. At the bottom of the 31 teams, a C-minus tied with San Jose. And I know you were asked to do the bios on their guys. they pick those, right? And then you've got to determine what you're going to say about them. And do they determine the rank? How does that all work out?
They do. They determine. They pick the 10, and they do the ranking. And like, for instance, I'll tell you, when I turned it in, Philippe Gustafsson was obviously in the top five still.
Right.
So, and then that, he moved over into the. So I did one of the write-ups for the Ottawa section as well. Not on purpose.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, there you go.
Here's the thing about where they're ranked. They've been ranked at the bottom for a couple of years now, and the reason for that is they don't have like a. They don't have these high-end guys that project as like top-line players or top-pair defensemen because, A, they draft so low, B, they always trade away their first-round picks, and C, that's not what they need. Like, what they need is 2 years ago they needed Sherry and Rust and Kuhnhackl to come up, and last year they needed Gensel to come up, and this year they're going to need, you know, Simone or Aston Reese or somebody to be a significant player in the playoffs. They just need complementary pieces. And so to me, the system is doing a really good job of producing what it needs to produce, but it's never going to have those eye-popping guys. There's no Matt Barzals in the system. You know what I mean? There's no guys like that.
Yeah.
And so prospect rankers love upside. That's why you'll see guys that are still 18 and haven't proven themselves. They're always ahead of the 20-year-olds because the people can still get excited about what might be. And the Penguins don't have a lot of like high upside guys.
You know, you probably get a chuckle out of this, much like I do. Whenever anybody goes down on the Penguins roster, and let's just take, you know, Carter Rowney for an example, looks to be out a while. Everybody starts going, "Bring Sprong up! Bring Sprong! Where's Daniel Sprong?" Well, you know, first of all, the beauty of what the Penguins have set up is when they need to find a guy to replace somebody like Carter Rowney, they have that. If Kessel would go down due to an injury, they can bring up a goal scorer like Sprong. So they're fitting round pegs into round holes and square pegs into square holes. But what has happened to Daniel Sprong? I looked up his numbers. He's got no goals in his last 9. He's got 1 goal in his last 16 with 11 points. Those aren't numbers that are going to get you a call up no matter who goes down.
No, that's true. I mean, he needs to. One of the things that they talk about with prospects all the time is you need to develop that consistency, that sort of, you know, night in and night out, you're going to be dangerous. And you know, I mean, that's part of the issue with Sprong. I'm going to say issue. It's just typical development stuff that Daniel Sprong is going through. So I don't think it's a huge indictment of him. I think a lot of good players have gone through the same type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that he's. The perception of him that he's like a fully formed guy who's ready to just be plugged into a top six, I don't buy that. I think he's – and also the idea that he's a can't-miss, you know, all-star, I don't buy that either. I think he's going to be an NHL player. But I think the jury's still out on, you know, exactly what kind of an NHL player he's going to be. There's still a lot of question marks.
Yeah, and a lot of people forget, like, he's 20. Even though he was here a couple of years ago at 18, he's 20. He's not even Teddy Bluger. He's not Zach Aston Reese. These guys are more mature. They played in college, and they fit better when they're ready to be called up. They're just more mature players.
And let's face it, I mean, he shouldn't have been here as an 18-year-old looking back on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know how great he looked in training camp, but in the grand scheme of things for his development, that probably was a mistake. You know what? There's one other thing I wanted to mention briefly about that hockey news list.
Yeah.
There's a couple of prospects that didn't make their top 10 that I really like. That Jordy Bellerive kid is having an awesome year in the Western League.
Yeah.
Sam Miletich is having a huge year in the Ontario League. Anthony Angelo for Cornell is having a really good year. I would argue those are 3 forward prospects that should be kind of at the higher end of that list that weren't on there.
Yeah, and Miletich and Bellerive both signed out of developmental camp after they laid their eyes on him. And Bellerive, I think he's got another year of junior left, and Metella could be up here, you know, maybe helping out. So, yeah, absolutely.
Bellerive's a guy you should be excited about because what he's doing at age 18, I mean, Miletich is doing it at age 20, and that's nice, but lots of guys score in the Ontario League at age 20. Bellerive's doing it at 18. He's a, you know, that's a high riser. That's somebody to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and I think defensively, you know, underrated. Bengtsson looks like if he could stay healthy, get his health in order. They brought in Prowl. You know, I think, you know, maybe Jeff Taylor. They've they've got some pieces they could take a look at. And Peden, who they brought in, you know, was playing really well before he got hurt down there. So I wouldn't say it's barren. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't say it's a C-minus, despite what they did for you.
Well, it's just because none of those guys are going to be high-end guys.
Right.
But that's not what the Penguins need. They need guys to come in and be good in their role, even if it's a lesser role.
Well, JB, you are great in your role. And what do you got going in the on the trip tomorrow?
Well, I wrote mostly all about Matt Murray. And right. I'm working on something about the power play coming up fairly soon, which is, you know how hot and cold it runs? And yeah. The penalty kill is the same thing. It runs hot and cold. I always find that fascinating. Like, you can have five of the best guys in the world, like they do, and it can go 2 weeks and not get a sniff. So, you know, I talked to Coach Sullivan about that. I talked to a couple of players, and I'm working on that in the next couple of days.